1 John 3.
Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us.
Praise the Lord, brothers. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I can welcome you to our newest episode. I pray that all is well with you and your family. And I hope that today something would be said that would encourage you and strengthen you. We're going to be talking about compassion versus indifference. And our scripture we're going to focus on is 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. And what it means to have compassion versus indifference. Are we willing to invest whatever is necessary to heal the hurts of others? As men of God, as husbands, fathers, and sons. And where are we in it? Again, you know, as men of God, we are called to live by the word, to not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, and I pray I would encourage you to think about where you are in Christ, where you are in your spiritual growth, and what are you willing to do for those in the body of Christ, outside the body of Christ, and in your own home. As we always say here, as Christians have been taught, all ministry starts in our own home, in our family. Amen? Amen. I'm going with prayer, and I'm going to share a little bit of insights here about the gospel and about salvation. But first, let us pray. Father God, we come to you humbly, oh God, saying thank you. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do, Lord God. Father, you know all things, and you're in control of all things, but God, we thank you right now. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit living within us today, oh God. Father, we ask you to continue, God, touch you. That you continue to touch my brother's lives. every man that is listening, everyone in the sound of my voice, oh God, that you would bless them, God. You know the needs, you know the desires, you know the trials and the tests that these men are going through, God. So, Father, I ask right now that, God, that you would touch their lives, give them encouragement, give them hope, oh God. Father, we ask, oh God, again, that you would continue, God, set a hedge of protection around your church. We ask for the blessings over the pastors, leaders, elders, and all those who live behind the scenes, oh God, and serve ministry, oh God. Father, we pray today for the persecuted church all over the world today, oh God. But just for the name of Jesus, God, they have their lives are being threatened, and some will lose their lives, God. But God, we just say thank you right now, God. Thank you for being God. Continue, God, to bless your church and cover your church. And Father, help us, help me, Lord God, to be a faithful and obedient servant, that I might stand before you and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Well, gentlemen, again, we want to thank you for joining us in this Christian Men's Talk. And let me start off this. This is June. This is the first. This is our first episode of the month of June. And as you know, we got Father's Day coming up. So I just want to encourage you to, in some way and somehow. So much. And remember those fathers who may not be recognized for whatever reason. Encourage those brothers, because we don't know what the future holds. It could be because a lot of men are going through a struggle with visitation, with child support, with they just issues, but let's pray for them and encourage them during this Father's Day. Those single fathers, divorced fathers, you know, just take opportunity and just bless that brother. You'd be surprised. You get that brother Father's Day card. No matter what his situation is, that can be an encouragement. Amen? Amen. So we want to do that. This is why we talk about ministering to men and reaching out, having that compassion. Amen? Because as you know, in this culture, for whatever reason, I mean, we're only not choosing sides, but there's some men who don't get to see their children. Amen? So let's encourage them, let's pray for them, and give them hope. Amen? Again, today I want to share a few things. Again, here at Issues Christian Men Talk, it's about being a man of God and being compassionate. And it's important that we know what we believe and why we believe it. So today I just want to do a quick review, or for those who may not have heard, the gospel. What is the gospel and what is salvation? So let's begin with the gospel. The gospel is a divine revealed message concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ, especially his virgin birth, his righteous life, his substitutionary sacrifice, atoning death, and bodily resurrection, revealing who he is and what he has done, with the promise that he will save anyone and everyone who turns from sin by trusting in him as Lord and Lord and Savior. To know that God, that Jesus Christ died in our place. But again, he died in our place. He took the wrath of God for us so that we not have to. So now our faith in him, believing who he was, his life, what the gospel say about him, and believing that he paid the price that we all would pay because he was sinless. Amen? So that's the gospel that we are called to share. And salvation? Salvation is granted by God's grace alone, received through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. Every believer is united to Christ, justified before God, and adopted into his family. In God's eyes, there is no difference in spiritual value or worth among those who are in Christ. All are united in Christ are also united to one another, regardless of age and race, ethnicity, or sex. All believers are being conformed to the image of Christ. By God's regeneration and sanctifying grace, all believers will be brought to a final glory, sinless day of perfection in the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? So it's important that we know what we believe and why we believe it, and that when I struggle with that, I'm looking at it and I'm substitutional. There you go. Substitutional sacrifice of Christ. Man, I just blanked out on me. But amen, it's okay. Maybe I'll edit that part out. That way I won't, you know, look like I stumbled over the words. But again, brothers, this is Deacon Thomas Farr. This is Christian Men's Talk. We're going to go back to our conversation again because we're talking about compassion versus indifference. And we're focusing in right now on the scripture. It's going to be 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. Amen. And let me read it real quick so we can focus on what we're saying, because it's important. that we understand what God is calling us to be. Again, it being hearers of the word, but now being doers. How are we going to apply this to our lives? So verse 17 says, but whosoever hath his worldly goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So how can we have the love of God and not have compassion to be indifferent? Indifference is something that, it's hard. It's because really it's sin. Because we're called to love one another. We're called to bear each other's burdens, come alongside and support. We talked about this in some of our previous episodes, we talked about Romans 15. So I think this connects into that. So are we have compassion or are we indifferent? And every man has to search yourself on where you at when it talks about it. And then now we're going to talk about what does that look like? How do we apply that? Where are we in our life when it comes to this? Because some of the things we may do, we may think we are, but then we show to be indifferent about circumstances and situations that we know what's going on in the lives. And that's why it's important to be in a fellowship, be connected one to another, that we can look out for each other and encourage one another. That's one of the things I emphasize here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, why men's ministry is so important. We need brothers in our lives to hold us accountable, to challenge us, to encourage us, and to support us in this walk, in this Christian walk, and do this experience of process of sanctification. Because until Christ comes back, we're all pilgrims just passing through, and we're striving to live obedient lives. Amen? Amen. Pastor Larry Walker, sir, can you hear me? Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Dina Farr. Pleasure to be here, man. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful. Everything is well. You just go continue to press in and press on until Christ comes back. Yes. And I pray that the brothers that are listening, it's just something about it's a couple of things. It's Father's Day. It's the halfway through the year, and I just want to encourage the brothers out there to continue to keep pressing in, pressing into the study of the Word, pressing into your Bible study, attending Bible studies, serving ministry. There's so much that we're called to do as men. And I just pray that the things that we say today and even in that our prayer will be heard, that God would move in the hearts of some brothers just to press into the things of God. Because God, trust me, church, the world, our families, they all need us. Amen. So, bro, I'm going to come to you. Amen. I'll let you jump right on in. You got, you can take compassion or indifference. So tell me what you think. Amen.
I think this is a touchy subject for the Christian world because it involves people's money, it involves people's treasure, whether it be their time, their talent, or their money. It involves their treasure and what they give of themselves. When I was growing up, we were taught a thing in Sunday school called the Golden Rule. Do you know what the Golden Rule is, D?
Do unto others before they do it to you? No, I'm sorry. That's the wrong one.
No, that's correct.
Go ahead, brother.
not before they do it to you, but do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is a scripture that's recorded in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. And we were taught this in Sunday school, and even my parents taught us this, that we were to treat people like we wanted to be treated. And in doing so, this is what it means to be compassionate, to treat people the way that you would want to be treated if you were in the same situation. It means that you now have to look at people and have some sympathy, some empathy, and some type of feeling or sorrow about what they're experiencing, and be able to identify with what they're experiencing, placing yourself in that position, and what would you have somebody do for you if you were in that position? If the scripture that we're looking at here talks about if your brother, it says, whosoever has the world's goods, meaning whosoever has money, whosoever has treasure, whoever has time, whoever has the ability to, and sees your brother in need, whether he be in need of money, whether he be in need of help, whether he be in need of your assistance or whatever. If you see your brother in need and you don't reach out to help him in some type of way, then you're not showing compassion. What you're showing is indifference, because it means you really don't care about what they're going through. It means you really don't care about how they're being treated. And in so, you're not living that golden rule that we were taught about. If you were asked kids today, what is the golden rule, they wouldn't know, because we don't teach about treating other people better than we treat ourselves. We don't teach do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We don't teach that anymore, because we teach now is look out for number one, okay? Take care of yourself. Do what you have to do. Make sure you're taken care of and your family's taken care of, and then you worry about everybody else afterwards. We don't teach the love your neighbor as you love yourself. What we hear in that scripture when they say love your neighbor as you love yourself, we hear that we need to love ourselves, and we forget about the whole neighbor part. But having compassion for your brother means that you see his need, and that it causes you almost a physical pain, almost sorrow, to see him in need, and that you have to do something to alleviate the pain that your brother is in, or that the area of need that your brother is in. When you look at scripture all throughout the Gospels, and where it talks about Jesus, it says Jesus was moved with compassion, meaning he saw the need of the people, saw their suffering, and realized that he needed to do something about it, and he stepped in and helped. This is what compassion is. And indifference is when you don't care at all, when you can see somebody's need, see somebody in need, and you can walk past them and go on about your life and not worried about it anymore. That's indifference, because you don't care. But we are taught in this scripture that we should have compassion for our brother, that we should treat our brothers better or like we would want to be treated. And this is the basis of Christianity. Now, as we talk further, I'm going to talk more about the monetary part, but this is the basis of Christianity. What do you think, sir?
Yes, sir. You're correct, because even the scripture talks about your bowels of compassion. We have to have, it begins without being saved. It begins with having a new heart. What the Bible says, we are converted from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. And that's where that compassion comes from. Do you appreciate what God has done for you? And now, are you willing to sacrifice yourself, for another person? When you see a person in need or hurt, or needs to be comforted, or needs to be whatever, are you willing to sacrifice your time, your time, your money if need be? It's a lot to it. It's just spiritual. And some of it comes as simple as, are you praying for your brother? Are you praying for the brother? Are you praying for your sister? Are you praying for your church? Are you praying for your pastor? That's where it starts. Because I believe if we're praying for others and not always praying for us, we talked about this before, praying for I, and that's your whole prayer life, then you have a problem. And I encourage you to grow to that place where you have a heart and a compassion that's now you're praying for others. And I believe that's where it would start, because if you're praying and have a concern for someone else, then God, through his spirit, will show you and guide you on where folk need help. Because the scripture talks about when we see our brother in need. Seeing, it could be a lot. It could be the visual. It could be a physical visual scene that someone is going through or struggling. You could tell by their countenance. You could tell how if they come to church and they're looking a little sad, or they might need some encouragement. They might need a hug. They might need somebody to talk to. But are you in a place where you can discern that? That's what I want to say. That you can discern the needs in folk, because not everyone's going to speak up. But can you discern it through let the Holy Spirit lead you? And I believe when we're talking about compassion, it starts with, are we praying for one another? Because this is where ministry starts. Because trust me, I've learned from myself, you know, when you have concern and you're connected with folk, you can tell when something's off and what's going on. Because, you know, the old saying is, you know, you ask some people, you ask them how they're doing, they're going to talk to you for a good 45 minutes. Some other folk will say, oh, everything is all okay. And God will give you discernment to know when the person tells you, hey, I'm all right, I'm blessed, I'm all that, to see through that. Because, again, it's about transparency. It's about being in a relationship where you can see through the masquerade that people put up, the mask people put on when they're struggling, and to be able to have discernment. I think that's important. So I believe that, you know, when we're talking about that being between compassion and indifference, what are we praying? Who are we praying for that we're connected with? And I think that's very important, because we're going to touch on some other things as we move forward. But I think it's all under the umbrella of ministry. Because as we grow in Christ, grow in our faith, God has all given us a purpose. Something I always say, we are not saved for us. We were saved so that someone else would hear the gospel, would see the love of God through us. So again, are we projecting the love of God to those around us and building those relationships and that real koinonia, that fellowship one to another where we're connected, and that we can't ignore what's going on. And another part I want to talk about, because the scripture talks about worldly goods, you know, we have to be mindful, because a lot of folk have a lot of things. Everybody's at different, what's the word I want to say? Economical levels. And I think this goes back to too, that if you have a heart of compassion, which God also gives you a spirit of contentment, where you're not buying everything that you can buy, or you're not spending all your money, or you have a financial situation where you know you're putting money aside for emergency, for somebody else's emergency, not necessarily yourself or your family. What if emergency rises up in the church? Are you financially able to contribute to that thing? But again, that's about, where is your heart, man? Brothers, where is your heart? Come to those things. Because we all, you know, we talked about, it's funny, we did a couple shows a couple weeks ago about giving and giving to the church and supporting ministry financially. But this is part of it too. Because everything you have to do, as the scripture talks about, sometimes you have to, you don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. You know, so it's a lot to it, but if we don't even think about these things and meditate on them, we're truly indifferent, because we're not looking to show the love of God to people in a tangible, natural, physical way. What do you say, sir?
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Deacon, but one of the things I want to talk about is that we have to make sure and we have to be careful that we don't just stop at prayer. Prayer is good. Prayer is awesome. Prayer is wonderful. If you have compassion on a person and you're praying for them and you're interceding for them on behalf of them, that's excellent. But real compassion has some activity to it that says, I can't just stop at praying. I have to now go and see what I can do to help alleviate that need. What am I saying? Jesus, when he saw the 5,000, after he had been taught his Sermon on the Mount, he didn't say, oh man, they hungry, let me pray for them to get something to eat. He said, no, sit them down and find them something to eat. Okay. It didn't just go beyond, it went beyond prayer, but he did everything that he could within his power to make sure that whatever that need was, it was met. And when that need was met, it was met to the point that there was no more need after that. So, yes, we need to pray. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But in compassion, we need to go beyond praying. And this is, I say this because many Christians use prayer as a catch-all so they don't have to do anything. And I'm not saying that prayer is bad, but I'm saying when you use it as a catch-all, so you don't have to get involved, so you don't have to get your hands dirty, so that you don't have to come out of your pocket, then it becomes that's where it becomes a problem. If you have real compassion on a situation, if you have real compassion for a person, if you have real compassion for what's going on, then there should be some activity behind that compassion. There should be some movement, whether you are giving something to it, or whether you're finding folk to give to it, or whether you're finding a solution for the problem. There has to be some action that goes along with that compassion. Because if not, if we just stop at prayer, then we're just as indifferent as people who don't pray, because we haven't put any action towards it. But there has to be action behind it. Now, here's where I'm about to get into trouble, and I hope you back me up on this, because this is where people have a problem. This includes when you walk by the convenience store at 7-Eleven and you see the brother sitting on the side and he says, "Do you have any spare change?" Now, if we have moved with compassion, then we would be willing to give to that brother or that sister whatever spare change we have, or a dollar or whatever, or something that is not going to put us in a financial bind, but is going to help them out. Now, I'm not saying if you don't have it. If you don't have it, you don't have it. That's fine. And then, but the problem that we get into is that we worry about what the brother or the sister is going to do with that money.
Amen.
And the real,
right. Come on.
The real answer to that is it's not your responsibility. Okay? It's not your responsibility to want to know what they're going to do. Jesus said that if somebody asks for your coat, you give them your coat, and you give them your cloak too, meaning that you don't just stop at doing the bare minimum, but you give what is necessary to alleviate the need. It's in Matthew. I can't think of the scripture right now, but it's talking about giving. If you are slapped on one cheek, you provide the other. If they ask for your coat, you give them your coat too. It means that you give them what is necessary to provide for the need. It's not our responsibility about what they do with it. It's not our responsibility if they ask for a dollar and they take it and go buy cigarettes, or they take it and go buy drugs. Now, there are things that you can do to alleviate that. If they say they're hungry, go buy them some food. You don't have to give them money. If they say they need something else, go buy them something else. But it does mean that you have to do something. Now, a lot of us won't do that because we're worried about what they're going to do with it. We're worried about where it's going. And this is an area of compassion that many of us don't move in, because we are so worried about the money in our pocket that we don't forget to worry about the brother on the street, or the brother in our community, or that sister that is in need. All we're worried about is how our money is being spent. After it's out of your hands, it's not your responsibility. But this is a part of compassion. This is a part of what this scripture is talking about with your worldly goods. It's talking about your money. It's talking about what goes on when you have the ability or the resources to help and don't help. What do you think, sir?
Amen, sir. You're absolutely correct. And, you know, and I was thinking as you was talking, I'm thinking about the scripture about faith produces works. And these are the works. Are we bearing the burdens of others? Are we ministering to others? Are we helping meet a need that, again, what we're talking about here, and we're talking about investing whatever is necessary to heal the hurts of others. And that example you give, because we all spoke out there with signs, with in front of the store, in front of the Walmart, the supermarket. But I believe it's like this. I'll share this because this is something that it was put on my heart. It was a couple of summers ago that out of my resources, because like you said, people have a problem with if you give somebody something, you want to tell them how to spend it. That's a whole nother hard issue. However, if you do want to keep, like for people you know that people may or may not have a drug or alcohol problem, you can get gift cards. You can get $5 gift cards. If you get a gift card, $5, it can be someone who is hungry that will do something for their belt. But again, this is about where's your heart at and how do you do that? Because if you take a $20 bill and just get four $5 gift cards, and then let God, let the Spirit discern, give you discernment on who to give it to. Because trust me, like you said, brother, there's people, there's hardcore homeless in this culture who are in the streets for whatever reason. And we know everyone gets hungry. So if the fact that they're there, again, it's discernment, it's the Spirit leading you. Because I agree, because I already know the brothers, what they're saying out there. They out there hustling, they out there, they're not really in need. But that's what God, that's where you trust God, and you trust the Holy Spirit. Because some folk, you may go walk by, drive by, whatever. But if God puts it on your heart, if there's a circumstance, because even now when we're talking about, there's a lot. I don't want to go down a rabbit hole, but I do say there's a way. There again, do we have a heart of compassion that we want to help where we can help? But then do we think about it and come up with a strategy that we want to help? Like I said, I know sisters used to keep, especially in the summertime or even in the wintertime, keep a cooler of bag lunches, Ziploc bag with some lunches and some foods and fruits and whatever. That they would give the homeless people who said they were hungry. When you see folk out in the street and they have it in the trunk of their car in a cooler or something, and we'll be able to give a bag lunch, a Ziploc bag with cookies and a juice or the same stuff we send our kids to school with, put that in the Ziploc bag, and if someone asks for the thing you get, if you don't want to give them money, fine, but give them that. But again, that's a heart thing, and that's where the heart, when we talk about compassion. Or are you indifferent where you don't even think of a strategy on how you could help? Again, so brothers, this is the thing we got to talk about, and this is the thing. And then the other thing, as fathers, what are we teaching our kids to deal with the least of these, those who don't have? Because trust me, the way it is now, your kids, when they go to school, they know kids in their school that don't have. You'd be surprised, who kids, their meal, their best meals of the day is school lunch and school breakfast. And will you teach your kids to, do you send your kids with an extra lunch or extra something that they might share with one of their friends without making a whole scene about it? You see what I'm saying? These are the things I'm talking about as men and as husbands and fathers. Are we thinking about this thing and how God can use us in these circumstances? Amen? I want to give you a couple of scriptures to meditate on. And I'm going to come back to you, brother. But I want to give the brothers a couple of scriptures to meditate on. There's so much as I was doing and preparing for this. I'm going to give you Luke chapter 12, verse 33. I'm going to give you Acts chapter 20, verse 35. I'm going to give you 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 19. And then I'm going to give you Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. And I have this in there. But now I'm going to come back around to, now I'm going to talk about the body of Christ for 1 minute. So I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are in the household of faith. Now we're going to talk about you brothers in the church and the people in your church, your church members, the people you call brother and sister in Christ that you see every week and you see in the Bible study. What are you willing to do? Are you in a fellowship? Again, I say, you know, are we willing to share and reach out to those in the body of faith? Because people in the church, there's a lot of things going on in church. I've been in churches, and I've been part of churches and part of congregations and outreach. There's a lot of things going on that pride keeps people from seeking help from the body of Christ. You know, and I think that's a real issue that we really have to be able to reason together and figure that out. Because there's no reason that anyone who's part of a local congregation should have a need that's not being met. Now, there's a lot of things to do about that, and pastors and elders, they battle with it a lot. But individually, what do you know what's going on with your brother and sister in Christ and that family that you know? I'm just saying, are we in those kind of relationships? Are we transparent? Who would we go to? Put it this way, who would you go to? Because I like the scripture you said about your golden rule. Who in your church would you go to if you was in a circumstance where you needed some help, material help? Who in your church that you have a relationship with could you go to? And then are you that person? If someone came to you, you have a way to figure that thing out. So that's the thing we all have to search our hearts and minds about. But bro, I'm gonna come back to you now and talk about, you know, that being importance of being to have a heart to look out for one another and the body of Christ, that we would not lack. What do you say, sir?
I think every church should have an outreach ministry, in their community. And the reason why I preface that by saying that is because we get grandiose sometimes in our outreach ministries. I was in a church in Southeast D.C. When I was growing up, and the church was in such a bad part of D.C. that you didn't even want to park your car there. The neighborhood was so bad. And we were going to the church, and we were sitting there, and we were talking with one of the brothers, and the brother said, we are raising money so that we can go to Haiti and do outreach in Haiti. And I said, all that's wonderful, brother, and I appreciate that. I was like, but you got issues out your own front door. You got brothers out your own front door that are standing on the corner that are in need, that are in help, and what are you doing for them to help them? Because your compassion should not be just for those in Haiti, but those out your front door, in your own neighborhoods, in your own communities, in your own churches. These are the people that should be, that you really should be concerned about, because they're right at your doorstep. And these are the ones that need your help immediately, not down the road or down the line or eventually, but they need your help immediately. I'm not saying that missions is bad. Missions is wonderful. Go to Haiti. Go to wherever. That's fine. But what are you doing about those that are at your own front door? What are you doing about those that are in your own congregation? How are you helping them with their issues, with their point of need? Are you seeing their point of need? Are you seeing that there's outreach necessary? Because if you are, then your compassion should help you to bring something about. Now, the second thing I wanted to say is that compassion brings about creativity, meaning that it doesn't always have to mean that you got to dig in your pocket. It means that you find creative ways to make sure that you can meet the need that is necessary. It doesn't mean that you always have to dig in your pocket. If you got stuff at home to make sandwiches, you can make sandwiches to help meet the need. If you got people that have resources and you know about them, you can reach out to those people to get donations so that you can bring it in to help meet the need. If you know somebody that has, you know, extra rooms and they need people to rent out those rooms, and you know people who are homeless and need homes and have the income to do it, but they just haven't had a break, then you can introduce them to those people. What I'm saying is that your compassion doesn't have to always be monetary. It means it brings about creativity so that you do what's necessary to meet the need. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he said, okay, let's see what we have. He said, well, we don't have any money. Was, okay, fine, we don't have any money. Let's see what we have. And then they found a boy who had a few loaves of bread and a few fishes and two loaves of bread. And he made that work because he had the creativity to look into the resources that were around him to bring in to meet the need of the people. Compassion, true compassion, allows us to use our creativity to help meet those needs. And not just the needs of those that are far away, but those that are right in front of us, those that are in our immediate vicinity. You never know the need of people that are sitting in your own congregation, in your own pews. But yet we don't set up outreach for that. We set up outreach to go close the homeless in the shelters or to do this. That's fine. I'm good with that. But what about the people in your congregation? Do you have a food bank set up for the people in your congregation? Do you have something set up for the folks in your congregation where they can come ask for help? That you may not have the help, but you know how to point them to the resources where they can get help. This is what compassion is all about. This is how we show love one for another. This is how you treat your brother as you would want to be treated. This is loving your neighbor as you love yourself. What do you think, D?
Amen, brother. Amen. You said that. You said a lot, and I agree. And again, this is what we got to think about in the body of Christ. Because, again, do we know where people can get help? I think that's the biggest thing. Because, you know, when people come to you, it's hard to let a lot of people know that you're struggling. But if someone comes to you, like you said, are you creative? Because we're in Anne Arundel County here in Maryland. And I don't care where you live, Baltimore City, D.C., Southeast, Northwest, Howard County, whatever, New York City or whatever. There's resources in the community that can help people. There's food pantries, there's food giveaways, there's resources to get rent paid. There's all these things. But do we have these things readily available to share with someone? So if they reach out to you, like you said, it doesn't necessarily always have to be out your pocket, but you know, God does love a sacrificial giver. But there's resources. Can we connect people with resources that can help them? You know, and so that's what I'm saying. When it's compassion, because we are proactive and we are prepared. Again, faith produces works, and I like what you said. You know, it'll give you a strategy. It'll give you something to try to think about. How can I bring a solution to this problem? Because as men, husbands, and fathers, this is what we are called to do. We are called to bring order to the chaos and to bring solutions to the problems where need be. But there's a balance there. Sometimes, you know, people don't necessarily want us to solve the problem, but even in that, are we prepared to solve the problem if we're asked to? Because again, we can't let people get overwhelmed in their issue, even though they might be trying to think it through in their mind. But now when it's time, here, try this. This will work. Here, let me bless you with this. And again, it could be out of sacrificially that you're giving, or that you can connect them with a resource that can help them and sustain them and lift them up. And that's what it's all about. But if we are indifferent, our problem is here, we say what compassion is, but I want to understand that indifference is a sin. Because if you're indifferent to the needs of those around you, and that's, I'm talking about physical, spiritual, and emotional, that is sin, because that tells me you don't love your brothers. You don't love others. You don't love other human beings. You don't have a heart to show them love because you're indifferent. That means you don't care. And what does that look like in a man? How can a man live his life and not care about others in some way or some form and say you're a Christian? Because, again, when you're talking about having compassion, we have a renewed heart. We're not as selfish as we used to be. We're not as stingy as we used to be. And we want to do good because we want to please God. And these are also how we can reach people and show people the love of God. Because what did God do? He gave to those who could not pay him back. We could never repay God for what he gave. He gave his son. And this is why we live obediently. This is why we love him. This is why he sent his Holy Spirit to be within us, to transform and convert us and change us, to think like him, to have a mind of Christ. There's so much to this. So that's why every man, we have to search ourselves and see how we're living. Are we living faithful to God and his call and living obedient to all of his word? Not just the word that thinks we're going to get everything, that we want everything, and God's going to bless us, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. I'm sorry. I don't want to go too far. But let's start with the bless me, Lord. God, how can I serve you? This should be the cry, the prayer and the cry for every man. God, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? How can I serve you? How can I minister to someone that they might come to faith, or I can encourage someone, or I can support someone in their walk, in their process of sanctification? And that's what I see when we're talking about 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. Do we have compassion that we want to now make a difference instead of just ignoring it, not caring, not even thinking about it, and then the other thing the enemy does, the enemy like I'm gonna go back to what you said, Elder, and I'm gonna come back to you. That, you know, we want to talk ourselves out of helping that guy on the street, the homeless guy that's out there begging, panhandling. But the devil wants to talk us out of helping him because he knows, you know, he wants us to think, oh, we're more righteous. They ain't no good. They could get a job. Why are they out here begging? Blah, 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 blah. That's not what God did. That's not what Jesus did. And that's not what Jesus taught. Amen? Amen. This is Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here we're live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. And right now we're recording different episodes throughout the week to be posted and sent out to you. If you received a text message, if you received the link on text, we have a lot of men's events coming up. There's a lot of them. You can text me back. I can send them to you. If you go to our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, on our Facebook page, they're all posted there. There's men's group, men's Bible studies, men's couple of men's conferences coming up in the next 2 months. But I do want to share one thing that's coming up. And this is the opportunity outreach community for those who are in the Baltimore area, Baltimore, D.C. area. Park Heights Father's Day Community Barbecue and Cookout. The church is going out into the community for Father's Day Barbecue and Cookout to support the families and residents of the Park Heights community. It's Grace Community Church. You can go on the website at gracecommunitychurch.org. And check events, check outreach. They're always looking for volunteers. You can come out, bring food. You can show up and bring. You can bring your own things and just help out. So I want to encourage you that. That's going to be on June the 17th. Park Heights Father's Day Community Barbecue and Cookout in the Park Heights area. Hopefully, I don't have the address of the location here, but I can't think of it. But I'll have it. But if you call me or text me, I'll have the address and I can send it to you where they're going to be setting up and meeting. So I'm going to encourage you in that, brothers. Also, again, I just ask that you continue to pray, continue to seek God for what you want to do and what you're going to do, and how are you going to apply some of the things we've been talking about here. There's one more thing I want to touch on real quick, Pastor. I'm going to come to you real quick. I'm going to throw you this pitch and I'm going to see how you handle it. Because when we talk about investing wherever is necessary to heal the hurts of others. I want to talk about you brothers in the church. We're going to talk about child support. I want to talk about lending money and not expecting it back. And I'm going to let you go first, and I'm going to come back around the other end and give my insight on some of this. But what are we doing in our homes? How are we setting our homes up? How are we taking care of our responsibilities? Even in that, because, you know, you never underestimate what's going on behind closed doors. And is there compassion in our homes? Again, all ministry starts in the home. And are we compassionate to the things going on in our house, or are we indifferent to them? I know that might sound strange for some, but for others, this is where you are, and God has sent us to help push you over to the other side. What do you say, Pastor?
There's two things here. Number one, if you're going to lend money, which is always a slippery slope, especially when you're dealing with family or somebody close to you, my rule is that I never lend out more than can hurt me. What am I saying? If I know that if I lend out $200, I'm going to be short on something by $200, then I can't lend out $200. What I can do is where my creativity comes in. My compassion says, okay, I know you were in need. And my compassion says, let me see what I can find or what I can do. Or I'll tell you, this is what I can do or I'm able to do. And then when I give it, I give it in a manner where, yeah, I expect it back, but then again, I don't expect it back. And the reason is that, and this is the second part of the thing that I wanted to say, is that having compassion makes you proactive rather than reactive. Meaning it has you to deal with your finances in such a way that you have reserves that could be used to help somebody if they're in need, or that you're not running so close to the edge of your bills that you don't have enough to help somebody else. I was taught this lesson by somebody who wasn't a Christian, and I was riding in his car, and we stopped at a place, and somebody asked him for, it was a guy on the corner, had a sign, asked for a dollar, and he reached in his glove compartment or this little area where he had dollars stuffed in from his change. And I said, man, why do you have all that money stuffed in there? He said, this is where I get back change from a five or change from this, or I spend $10, or it costs $9.97 or $8.97. I have a dollar left over from a $10 bill. I stuff it in here so that if I see somebody in need, I have money to give them. So he was being proactive instead of being reactive. If we are proactive in our finances, then we can set aside money or set aside those things that are necessary so that if somebody does come to us in need, then we have the ability to help them. Now, my kids always ask for money. My daughters are always coming to me asking for money. My name is no longer Daddy. It's Daddy Can I Have. So I have to make sure that in doing that, I be proactive in my finances to make sure that I can meet the need that they have, and not put myself in a position where I'm hurting myself. And this takes wisdom. It takes setting up your finances. It takes thinking about the need of others. And everything. Now, I'm not saying that you give them everything that they ask for. I don't do that. I'm not saying that you give them every whim. No, sometimes you got to let them bump their head and find out for themselves. But you can set it up within your finances that you are proactive and you set aside stuff and have it ready so that if somebody's in need, you have it there for them to give. It's like going to the grocery store and instead of buying one pack of lunch meat, you buy two because you know somebody might be in need of a sandwich. This is being proactive. If you know you live in a community where somebody is going to need something, you can buy one, you can buy another one and set it aside so that you have stockpile. So if somebody does come to you in need, you have something to give them. What do you think about that,
Dave? Amen, sir. You know, you stole my thunder there, brother. That's the same thing I was going to say. You started with that lending money thing, but okay. So apparently, this principle goes across. It reached all the way, like, to New York and D.C. So it's a thing out there that people need to hear and need to live by. You know what I'm saying? If you need it back, you can't lend it. I give you, that's the short answer. There you go. That's the abridged version. Yeah. If you actually need it back, then don't lend it. Amen.
Yeah.
So we're in agreement on that one. And you're right. And that's what it really is. I mean, because that's where your heart is. Because, you know, like you say, that can stress our relationship. That can destroy relationships. You talk about our kids. Gentlemen, I don't know if anybody y'all don't know this yet, but your father is your whole life. And again, Bill, but you see, these are opportunities to me. Something I learned from my own son, because he uses this phrase a lot with his son. There's a lot of life lessons that we have to teach our kids, and it doesn't stop. So when it comes to finance, because even when they come to you for either as little or whatever, are these opportunities of life lessons to see, hey, what's going on with your finances? I don't mind you coming, and I got you, but how we get here and what are we doing for next month? You see what I'm saying? Are we having those conversations? And are we having them in a way, again, that we're not condemning, that we have the compassion and understand? Because I know it was, you know, some of you people have been young, you have been financially secure ever since you got married. But for the rest of us who got married and wasn't necessarily financially secure in those first couple of years, you can understand what your adult children may be going through. Because stuff, trust me, stuff is a lot expensive. Because I just looking around, I can tell you right now, our first apartment was a two-bedroom apartment. We only paid $360-something a month. You can't find that right now. You can't stay in a hotel for that much. But these are the things I'm saying that we have to be mindful of. Because it might need some help here and there, but you also use that as a teaching moment or a life lesson. They have to, you know, figure out some other finance. They have to do some things differently. There's going to be sacrifice needed. You know, so as a father, you have to be in that place where you can have the conversation that, you know, you can help, because, you know, you don't, we don't want our children to be overwhelmed, but we also can help them to be able to deal with it. And that goes back to, again, there's resources, there's city, county resources. Just because they come to us, that don't mean we have to, I can show you a place that I can get this for you. I can get I can get you caught up on your BG&E or your water or rent or whatever's going on. I can point you in a direction where there's a resource. You see what I'm saying? But are we thinking that way? Like you said, are we using wisdom and discernment that we can help everyone and also in the household of faith and in our own households? Amen? And then, brother, because now we're gonna take one more hardball before we end this, because child support. I bring this up because I remember we had a men's gathering, and a pastor passionately discussed men of God who are delinquent or arguing or fussing over child support for their children. And that pastor, he was in for about 20 minutes. So there was something in his spirit or somebody in that room that needed to hear that. So I want to put that in there, because if we don't have compassion for our own seed, whatever the circumstances of the relationship, that how can our seed go wanting? And then how can we do anything in ministry and we're not providing for our own? Amen? So that's something I want to put out there. Pastors, elders, you do counseling. If you have, you've gone through this stuff, or brothers, or whoever's listening, if this is something that you're struggling with, get some counseling and figure it out. Because if you can't do that, if God can't trust you with your own seed, your own legacy, your own offspring, how do you expect God to trust you to do anything else in ministry? Well, how can he, you know what I'm saying? That's just me. I mean, you know, I'm not a theologian. I ain't been in no seminary, but I do read the Word of God, and to me, I can never understand it. Amen? But I encourage you, pastors, elders, again, this is the stuff we need. This is why we need men's ministry. This is why we need to gather men together. So, again, like that pastor at that time, he was sharing some things and chastising some things. So some of them brothers in that room, somebody needed to hear it. where they need to hear it so they can go talk to another brother about it. Because it does, in the body of Christ, it should not be a thing that should be an issue that Satan can use to again attack another generation. Because you're not seeing your child, you're not supporting your child. So how can you say you say? How can you say you love God? You can't love your own seed. That's why. Because what do you say,
exactly,
sir?
I agree with you wholeheartedly on that, Deacon. Because this is your own seed. It's your own blood. And how can you say you love your neighbor when you're not even loving your child who came from you? You know, how can you say that you're a Christian, and we say that by this we are known that we are disciples, that we show love one for another, and you're not even showing love for your own child. If you have a child, that child is dependent upon you for you to take care of him. They did not ask to come into this world. You brought them into this world. And since you brought them in, it's your responsibility to take care of them, to get them to a point where they can take care of themselves. Until they get to that point, they're your responsibility. And it's up to us to make sure that our children are taken care of financially, spiritually, educationally, whether it be with shelter, whatever the need is, it's up to us to meet that need. And as a man, I don't see how you can look in a mirror and call yourself a man and you're neglecting your child. I have a bunch of girls. I have six girls. And I've always wanted a son. And the thing that I can't understand is when a man has a son and he neglects his son, doesn't want to see him, doesn't want to be around him, doesn't want to do anything like that. I have grandsons, and it hurts me to not be in their presence because I want to be there so much for them, to help take care of them, to train them, to teach them, that it hurts me almost to physical pain that I can't be there all the time. I remember once that when I was when my kids were coming up, when my grandkids were young, they stayed with me. They lived with me. They were in the house. So when they saw me every day. They saw me this and that and the other. And it came a time for my job that I had to travel. And I had to be gone for a whole month away from my grandkids and away from my children. I was literally in tears having to leave them for a whole month, knowing that I was not going to be able to see them, talk to them, be in their presence, make sure they're okay, make sure they're taken care of. And I know that I'm doing this, I'm traveling for my job so I can make sure that they have the finances that they need to take care of themselves, but there's still more than just finances that go into taking care of a child. And it broke my heart to have to leave them for a month. So I have a problem understanding how a father does not want to see his child, how a father does not want to be around his daughter, how a father can have a son and not want to pour in to his son, not want to make sure that his son is taken care of, make sure that his kids are provided for. That breaks my heart because I go out of my way to make sure that my grandkids have everything they need financially and in any other way. So this is the basis of compassion, because it shows sorrowful, or it hurts you when they don't have. That's showing love. That's showing compassion. What do you think, Deke?
Amen, sir. And brothers, you can't carry a title. You can't carry the crown of being a father if you're indifferent. It's as simple as that. You know, and you don't have the love of God if you're indifferent, because it is two things, fatherhood and husband. Indifference shouldn't be in your category, shouldn't be in your DNA, shouldn't be part of your character, because those are the two positions we all have in common. every young man is on the road to fatherhood and husbandhood. And indifference is something that needs to be purged from your psyche, purged from who you are, because you have to have compassion to be sustained. And what God has put you into your wife's life, into your children's life for a purpose. Amen? Amen. This has been Issues Christian Men Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, we invite you to join us every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. You can always call in at 646-668-2636. You can go online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to the rebroadcast of this one and also the archive of the past shows we've done. It's been going on 6-7 years now, and these are just the topics. These are the things we talk about to encourage the brothers in their faith walk. Contribute to the young, the old, new to the faith, been in the faith a while, you know, all of it. We need to stir it up in the men, because we have a responsibility to reach men that they might, God, take their place in their home, in the church, and in the community, and be the men of God that he's called to be. Pastor Watkins, sir, I appreciate you, man. If you would close us out in prayer, and I thank you for taking time to be here and sharing your wisdom and insight with the brothers.
Deacon, thank you, man. It's been my pleasure to be here. I always thank you and appreciate you for allowing me to come on and to talk and to share. And I appreciate all that you do for men's ministry to help out brothers. Let us now bow our heads in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, how we love you and adore you, Lord God, how we appreciate you for all the things that you do for us, Lord God. Now, God, we ask that you would help us, Lord God, just as Jesus was moved with compassion, that you would help us to be moved with compassion, God. Create within us, Lord God, a desire to see needs met, Lord God, to see people helped, to see the homeless fed, Lord, the people that are without clothing being taken care of, whatever the need may be, Lord God, create in us a desire to meet that need, Lord God, and then give us the wisdom that we might obtain the plan whereby we can bring a resolution to the issue of the person in need, Lord God. It does not always have to be us giving or us giving of our finances, but help us to have the wisdom to find the solution, Lord God, to meet that need. Father, we pray that you would bless us as men, empower us, and help us be there with us and meet the concerns of our heart. We pray for Deacon Farr and all that he has given out. We pray that you would give back to him twofold, Lord God, all that he has given out, that he may be able, Lord God, to continue in ministry. We thank you now. We ask, Lord God, that you'll bless us as we are apart from each other and bring us back together again one more time, Lord God, so that we can sing your praises and give you the glory. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless thee.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe.